Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today we're going to move into Mark's Gospel chapter 10, and we're going to highlight one of the events in that chapter. It's the event where a man calls upon Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" I think that it's useful to look at this from a number of angles. First of all, it's interesting that the man appreciates that Jesus has an answer to this question. He's not saying, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" as a hypothetical question, a philosophical question. He really believes that Jesus can give the answer. So in other words, there's some appreciation, there's some faith that Jesus is special, Jesus is different. The second thing which I think is important is that why should someone want eternal life? And of course this means that this young man, who is apparently very rich, he realizes there's still something missing. And perhaps he has a sense that his riches, maybe they're not going to last forever. What's going to happen to him at the end of his physical life? Jesus' answers are also very significant. The man says, "Good teacher." And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good?" Now, of course, Jesus was good. There's not any question about that. But what he's really getting at straight away is that eternal life is to do with God. "You have approached me as a man. You've approached me in my humanity, but in fact I am God." This question is going to be resolved by a relationship with God, who is eternal. Now, he says, "You know the commandments. You don't murder, you don't commit adultery, you don't steal, you don't give false testimony, you don't defraud, honour your father and mother." And you know, the young man, he perhaps quite impertinently really says, "Oh, all these I've kept since I was a boy." Now, it may well be that he had done his best. It may be that in the areas that Jesus outlines, he had sought to be honest and faithful and true. But Jesus looks at him, and there's this wonderful word in verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. In other words, Jesus is not mocking this guy. He's not sort of looking with any derision, "Who do you think you are?" He has a sense that there is a genuineness in this young man. There is something very good about him. But he says, "One thing you lack. I love you, I care about you, I'm not going to dismiss your question, but there's one thing you lack." And he says, "Go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. What Jesus hit on in that statement was, where was this man's heart really focused? And very sadly, it seems that he was focused on his wealth. Jesus had touched the very heart of the issue. Was he going to give away all that he had in order to have eternal life? Or was he going to hang on to material riches and material things? The young man is very sad. It's the very thing that he didn't want to do. But Jesus had got it right, obviously. And that's something that we need to face as well. By the way, I don't think every rich person should give everything away. God knows where your heart is, and some people's heart may be more in their riches than in God himself. Let's pause, let's have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me, and we'll explore this story a little more.
My soul.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at this story from Mark chapter 10, the rich young ruler. So this young man goes to Jesus and he asks this question: what must I do to be saved? What motivated him to ask, do you think? Because it sounds as though he knew the law.
He certainly knew the law, and there was a lot going for him. But I think it just underlines that deep down, he knew that there was still something missing. There was a big gap, and it was this question about eternity that was really driving this question.
And what do you make of Jesus' answer in verse 21? I mean, in some ways, does it seem a little harsh?
Well, I think in some ways it does. But I think the amazing thing about the answer of Jesus is that it's getting to the root of the issue. You may or may not remember how Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus almost cuts across all of Nicodemus' talk and says, "You must be born again."
Mm.
And Jesus is unafraid to get to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter with this young man was, where was his treasure? Was it going to be in heaven, or was he more concerned about keeping his wealth on earth?
Yeah. Something that always strikes me about this story is that verse 22, the man's face fell, he went away sad. And Jesus didn't chase after him. Jesus didn't say, no, come on, you know, we need to talk about this. He let him go.
Yes, I think that is very telling. And I think it's quite an important thing in terms of our evangelism. You know, sometimes zealous evangelism can pursue to the degree that you can't be sure that the response in the end is just keeping you quiet, pleasing you, or whether there's been a real change of heart.
Mm.
But Jesus had laid out, this is how it works, and the young man was sad. I reckon Jesus was sad as well, but he was not going to lower the standard.
Because it was the whole issue of this man's money, it was his richness that was holding him back.
Yes, I mean, that was the fundamental problem, that he was very comfortable in his material life. And if that was going to be challenged to get eternal life, he wasn't prepared to face that challenge.
Mm. We still live in a world, Richard, where there are very rich people and, at the other end of the scale, very poor people. Jesus, you always get the impression, seems to identify very much with the poor. Does that mean that Jesus is opposed to wealth, to rich people? Is there no hope for the rich people in the world?
Well, I think that's a very important question. And I think the answer is no, Jesus does truly love the rich and the poor. After all, he received considerable material help from some women who were, compared to others, rich. He received a tomb from Joseph Arimathea, who was probably very rich compared to many of the day. So no, Jesus loves the rich and the poor, but what he recognises is that the rich often put up far stronger barriers to truth and the gospel than perhaps the poor do.
I'm actually reminded of the story of the singer Cliff Richard, who became a Christian and wondered whether he should give it up and go into full-time Christian ministry, but he felt that God was saying to him, no, carry on what he's doing. As a result, obviously, we don't know his circumstances, but we can assume he became very rich and is able to do good with that.
Yes, in fact, I've heard that story, and I think it was Billy Graham who advised him, and what Billy Graham said to him was, in the circle that you move, you're touching people with the gospel that others will never reach, and therefore you should continue, but just handle what God gives you well.
And it's about attitude at the end of the day. It's about this young man's attitude here towards his money.
Yes, that's exactly the case. Yep.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.